according to John. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the son frees you, then you will be truly free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me, because my word has no room among you. I tell you that what I have seen in the Father's presence, then do what you have heard from the Father." They answered him and said, "Our father is Abraham." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one God, who is our Father." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. So, you know, the purpose of these rather lengthy discussions that Jesus is having with the Jewish leaders and so on is to show us the rising tension that gives way to next week's Holy Week, namely, wherein we will see the Lord brought up on charges and put to death. So it is a very, that's the purpose of all these kind of rather lengthy readings. Now, in effect, the Lord is there's a friend of mine who some years ago, his little girl and he were watching a video called The Gospel of John, which simply renders The Gospel of John word for word as a movie. At one point, she pulled on her dad's sleeve and said, "Man, he wants to get killed." Because he speaks here so strongly and is so unflinching and doesn't even yield a minute and say, "Well, you know, maybe what you say is true, but you know," he doesn't even negotiate with him. He just says, "This is the deal. I am who I am. I'm the Father's son, and if you were the Father, you would follow me and you would understand who I am. But as it is, you are not from God the Father. Your father is Satan." Okay, here we go. So and so on. So we have all of these images here. Now, one of the things the Lord says is very interesting here, because I think it certainly applies to a lot of people's thinking today. It says here, "If the Son frees you, you will be truly free, and you will be," and so on. And and they say to him, "How can you say you will become truly free? We are descendants of Abraham, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say that we will become free?" Jesus says, "Amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." And so on it goes. But notice again how they exalt their freedom, and they say that we're not slaves of anyone. They have no idea of how much they really need God. And this is a very common problem today. Most people in our culture have very little idea about sin, and they've kind of bought into this idea that basically I'm fine, you're fine, everyone's fine, and there's no understanding that we need mercy and so on. Now, part of the fault, of course, is that of the church, namely, not officially, but in many of the pastors of the church, we stopped preaching sin, very much. We started preaching this sort of come to our warm Catholic community where you'll be affirmed and affirmed and reaffirmed and reaffirmed, and we'll just tell you how great you are, and we'll make you feel good, and anything that you could get from a bowling league. But there was no real solid preaching of the gospel. Now, I don't mean to say that's true in every parish, but I certainly think Father Robert Barron, who's about my age, had a very good way of describing the Catholicism of the 70s as beige Catholicism. You know, it had kind of lost all of its colorfulness and its edginess, and it was just sort of this let's not offend anybody Catholicism, and so on. So there is this attitude today that basically, you know, who needs to be saved? Everyone's saved, and there is no real thing as such a thing as serious sin. People just have issues, and they need therapy maybe, but they don't need God. They don't really need their sins dealt with. In fact, sin is such a negative concept, so let's not even mention sin, because that sounds judgmental, and so on. You see the thinking. And so here we have then the Lord saying, again, I'm telling you right now, everyone who, you know, I've come to set you free. And they say, well, what do you mean set us free? We are free. We've never been slaves to anyone. And the Lord says, bottom line, if you're sinning, you're a slave to sin, and you need me to set you free. And they object, and they go back and forth with him. You know, how dare you talk like this? We're children of Abraham, and you're judging us. And, you know, all of that kind of basic same stuff that you hear today. And the Lord says, in the end, if God were your father, you would know and understand these things. But as it is, God is not your father, because you think like this. You're trying to kill me, and you don't want to have anything to do with what I'm saying to you. And pretty bold stuff, isn't it, right? And they're going to kill him for this. This is going to result in his death, that he talks like this. And so let's not make any, you know, let's not make any, what I'm looking for, excuses for the fact that the Lord got killed for talking like this. That we have a tendency today, you know, to just want to get along with everybody and never speak boldly. And this is part of the problem of our age, isn't it? We're not willing to get killed like Jesus did. We're not even willing to have people raise their eyebrows at us. We're not even willing to be called names. I mean, let alone be nailed, you know. And so this is part of the problem, of course, of our age, and so on. So anyway, all I'll say is that the virtue to be prayed for, I think, in this is to be courageous. Now, it doesn't necessarily follow that in every interaction we should be, you know, in people's face, kind of like Jesus is here. But nevertheless, there are just times where we just have to say, look, this is the deal. And we can't be afraid, you know, of what people think or say. We have to accept the fact that not everyone's going to be happy when we speak to them about sin, even if we do it in a kind way. I had an experience, you know, most people around here are kind of used to the way I preach. But every now and then I go out on the preaching circuit there and I preach to people who haven't heard about sin in a long time. They're in parishes, apparently. They grew up in parishes where their priests just didn't talk much about sin or judgment or hell. And I start talking about that stuff. And man, people just, they're like, what's this guy's problem? You know. And one of the experiences I had with this was in a marriage prep program that I do at a neighboring parish. And it's not so much that parish, but they come from all over the archdiocese, these couples for marriage prep, and it's amazing to me. I preach pretty much like I do here. I just sort of say it plain, and I get evaluations back, and it's a 1 to 10, you know, 10 being good and 0 being bad, and I get a number of 9s and 10s, but I get a whole bunch of like 2s and 1s and even negative numbers, and it's funny. I mean, I don't mean it's, you know, a big joke, funny, but it's just strange, you know, the bifurcation of the results. There are just some people who haven't ever heard much talk about sin, and just bold talk about the fact that we have issues, and not just issues, we have sins, and we've got to look at these things and be serious about them and recognize our need for God, and they just have never heard. And one of the remarks I loved most of all was, he sounded a little preachy. Well, isn't that what I'm supposed to be doing? I mean, you know, but anyway, so that's what it is. But so be it. I mean, but as I say, some people in our culture are just unaccustomed to even hearing this kind of talk. It's just, it upsets them to even hear that they might have sin in them. I mean, that sounds judgmental. And then to go on and hear that there may be judgment that we'll face one day, and that some of us, if we're not careful, could land in hell. And this is just, oh, that is way beyond the pale. And then just write me off. And well, again, you got to, part of what we have to do in the church today, I think, is just get people accustomed again to hearing this kind of stuff. And I simply present to you just reading from John 8, where if they're having trouble dealing with me, I mean, how would they deal with, not the made-up Jesus who's nice and pets animals and gives out nice little missives, but the real Jesus who was a prophet and spoke like prophets do. How would they deal with the real Jesus? Well, they'd have a hard time stomaching him, I can promise you. So the real Jesus of Scripture does talk like this. And I'm not saying we always talk like this. This isn't the only way we talk, but because Jesus also used parables, and he was very creative. He used lots of different approaches. But one of the approaches he used was this sort of in-your-face, now look, here's the deal. A and not B. And that's the deal. And So, I've talked too long this morning. Jesus was not known for short sermons either, by the way. One of his sermons goes on for three whole chapters in Matthew. So, but I need to end. But here again, we see the rising tension that's going to result in Jesus' death. And in our own life, I think we have to be willing to accept something of this passion in our own life, that there will be interactions that we have with certain individuals and people and even groups where this, it may not result in our death, but it may certainly result in a lot of suffering for us, and we have to be willing to accept that. Amen.